This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Like today, myself, Brad Gressens, and Mitchell Thomas and Andy Beebe, we take on college basketball. We start local with the Michigan State Spartans and their up-and-down season, work our way to the Big Ten and the national level. Who can win the national title? It's time to talk some college basketball as we're recording this on February 29th. So it's time to talk about March, the NCAA tournament not far away. And we've got a few things that we want to hit. Andy Beebe and Mitchell Thomas are joining me. We're going to talk a little Big Ten basketball. We're going to talk a little Michigan State. We're all then going to kind of zone out and take a look at the entire country and who some of the best teams are, who we think can actually win the NCAA tournament are. But let's start with Michigan State. This is a team that can absolutely beat anybody, but a team that can 100% lose to anybody, and in depressing fashion. I still go back to them blowing a second half lead to Minnesota, albeit in Minnesota. That was a brutal, brutal loss, but I also remember them kind of handling Illinois, a game that you always felt like they were in control of when they beat Illinois at home. So Tyson Walker obviously is a fantastic player, but it seems like when they're good, it's when they get somebody else to jump up. It's when all of a sudden they get 20 points from Malik Hall, when they can get a good A.J. Hogard, when they can get a good Jaden Akins. They have no interior presence. That's a big problem for them. It's why I don't really think they can hang with Purdue. But this is a team that when the guards get going, they're tough to beat. And they showed that against someone like Baylor and against a team like Illinois.
Michigan State basketball has been very, very confusing for me this year because they came in, I mean, not to the Purdue level of hype, but to the hype of saying, hey, we're back. Like, well, you know, we're going to get that, we're going to easily get that double bye in the Big Ten tourney, and we're looking at, you know, a 3 seed or better in the tournament. Like, that just seemed like a lock. Because those guys that you were mentioning, Malik Hall, Hogard, Tyson Walker, just hearing that those guys were still on that team, you just felt like this was the year. It feels like they've been there for so long. And it was just about time that they were able to put it together and, you know, make that Michigan State run. And now they're, you know, at this point in the season, it's, well, now we're just trying to stay alive and keep things going and just make it to the tournament so that you can actually, you know, do something, which, I mean, with Michigan State, I just look at them, you know, kind of like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. And it's, you know, I know, you know, with one of my State fans, it's very, very frustrating to watch. And I'm sure that he is struggling watching them more than I'm struggling watching Michigan, because at least we know what we're getting. But, you know, with a team like that, I you know, with the expectations falling short the way they have been, I think at this point it's just, you know, get to the Big Ten tournament, get a few wins, get your bid in the NCAA tournament, and then do Michigan State things. You know, I think at this point you just got to forget how the first 3 quarters of the season went and just take it game by game. They got a big one at Purdue, and then at that point, after that game's done, you just got to get your job done in those last two games. Was it at Northwestern and at home against Indiana, is that correct?
Other way around. Home against Northwestern at Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you sum it up pretty perfectly. Izzo was returning all these guys that made a Sweet 16 run last year, got a number 4 ranking in the preseason, and then they lose their first game of the season to James Madison. So, I mean, Izzo has all these guys. They've been in the program for 2, even 3 years. And they just never seem to hit that really high ceiling that we've seen from Izzo teams that have these veteran leaders. And so, I mean, just looking at Sparty Twitter right now, a lot of people are just saying that Izzo's just a shell of his former self and that he might not be able to get back to that Final Four run that they should have made a couple years ago on Cassius Winston's last team before COVID ruined it. So, I mean, that team was pretty good. Cassius Winston was a great player for MSU. Things might be different, you know, with the Spartan program, all the fans thinking about Izzo's next couple years, if they want him to continue coaching or if they want him to try and retire, was probably based off of what happened during that COVID tournament that they weren't able to play. MSU wasn't able to get that far with one of their best teams in the past couple years for Izzo.
Izzo's an interesting topic because you look at him compared to his contemporaries, compared to Coach K, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams. He fits more into the Jim Boeheim mold. A guy who just seemed like he lost a step at the end, where I still love Izzo. I still think he's a really, really good basketball coach. But the thing that made him so great was his intensity, was his no-nonsense style, that he was going to do things his way. And he switched to now trying to go and get one and done. Go back to when we were in college and people were waiting to hear if Josh Jackson was going to go to MSU or to Kansas. And he ended up deciding Kansas. And you go look back at that era of Michigan State basketball, that's when it started. When Miles Bridges came in, who could have been a one and done. Jaren Jackson Jr., the one and dones. And it wasn't these four-year players. Cassius Winston was the last of those true, really good four-year players for these guys. When you go back to some of the teams of our, maybe, you know, I'd say our youth a little bit, but towards the college years, with Denzel Valentine on it, with Adrian Payne on it, with, of course, Draymond Green, those were Tom Izzo teams. He just kind of seems, the word I use for him is sentimental. He's a sentimental old man now. He's crying at the end of a lot of wins. And it doesn't seem like he has that same fire. It doesn't seem like he has that same intensity with the players. It's just not the same at Michigan State. And I would never fire Izzo. I don't want him to go. He's still a really good coach. But I don't think you're going to win another national championship with Tom Izzo. I think you're going to make some runs. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes one more Final Four before he's done, I don't think, with this team. But I don't think that he's going to win a national title. I think the only one is going to be the one 24 years ago.
No, I mean, Tom Izzo will put a couple more banners up in the Raptors, whether it be, you know, a Big Ten tourney title. Like you mentioned, a Final Four. I don't know if they do banners for Elite Eights, do they? I don't know if Michigan State does.
Right.
They don't really need it. They have enough. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Tom Izzo he's one of those guys where I mean, you don't see Michigan State firing him. You just don't. I mean, he's one of those guys where he's going to leave on his own terms. And, you know, I think for Michigan State fans, you're kind of sitting in the middle where it's like, you know, we're going to have to deal with it. But at the same time, you know, once he retires, you're going to be thanking this guy for a very long time because of what he's meant to that program. And I mean, we say it time and time again. It doesn't matter what this team looks like. You never count this team out in March. Never do. And, you know, it's the Tom Izzo factor. It's just the way it is. Once this team makes it to the tournament, like, they are a threat, regardless of where they're at. And, you know, until that changes, Tom Izzo's going to stay there. And yeah, he's going to stay there until he feels like leaving, until he feels like, you know, either the game or, you know, maybe the culture of the players or, you know, just the way the staff, like, something's going to have to leave him for him to be able to vacate that spot. I mean, I don't see it next off season, but I would not be surprised. I'd say maybe 3 or 4 years, I think, is kind of my range of how long Tom Izzo would stay there.
You know, I was raised not to like anything about Michigan State, but I mean, just look at the landscape of college basketball. You see all those great Hall of Fame coaches. Coach K, you brought it up earlier, Brad. Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim, all those guys are just now gone all of a sudden. And it's just really strange to see all these prominent college basketball teams that have had coaches there for like 20 plus years. Then all of a sudden they got these new guys, and it's just all weird to see. And it's kind of sad that now, you know, we're getting at that point where Izzo probably two, maybe three years is going to be following in that kind of trajectory where, you know, it's going to be time for him to hang up his cleats and then just, you know, stop coaching.
Yeah, Jay Wright, let's throw that on the list. Another one of those coaches who just there for a long time and did some great things. Oh my gosh, there's another one that's escaping my mind. I know it'll come to me. The coach from Virginia, is he still there?
Yeah, Tony Bennett's still coaching.
Oh my goodness, thank you. A lot of times I get him and Jay Wright confused, and then I gotta see him in their colors, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. What's that?
You took the words Jay Wright right out of my mouth because, yeah, Bill Self is like the last of the great coaches who's still coaching and still succeeding at a high level, and he looks like he's going to continue to succeed at a high level. How long can Michigan State last this year, though? I mean, heck, their first game of March is going to be against Purdue, at Mackey Arena, which is a really, really difficult place to play. Now, Purdue is a choke artist expert in March, but I don't think that they can beat Purdue. I just don't think they have anything to compete with Zach Edey. Malik Hall is probably going to get Zach Edey a lot, and that's not good for them. I know that Jackson Kohler, I know that they're going to have all sorts of quote-unquote bigs down there, but they go small a lot, Michigan State does, and Malik Hall probably have a couple of pieces of Zach Edey. Then they play a tough Northwestern team, albeit at home. That's a game they have to win against Boo Booey and Northwestern. And then at Indiana, which is a game they should win at Assembly Hall. But how far can this team go? I do think they make the NCAA tournament. I think that they'll get the wins they need to. Plus, their net rating is 24th right now. That will help them get in. Their quad one wins will help them get in against Illinois, against Baylor. I don't think this team can make this. I think Sweet 16 is the ceiling for this team. I wouldn't be surprised if they run into a mid-major in the first round and lose. I think that's a pretty high probability.
They're a box of chocolates, man. I mean, it's one of those things where I think looking into how this team is made up, is, I mean, especially not having a consistent big man, I think Sissoko has really been one of the biggest disappointments you could probably say about this team. Just somebody that I think they had much, much higher expectations for, and really all he's doing right now is taking up space. And it sucks for a team like that. They are one big man away from being a very solid team and a very dependable team. And I think that that's one piece that's going to hurt them, especially in March, not having a big man, because I think, you know, time and time again, that's going to be their Achilles heel. And I mean, Sweet 16, sure. I see them losing the round of 32. I think if they make it to the Sweet 16, to me at this point with how they're looking, that's a successful season, which sucks. And you know, it's not what any State fan would have wanted coming into this season. But at this point, you're playing with the cards you're dealt, and the inconsistencies have been issues. Not finishing games. I mean, man, that game against Ohio State was an absolute bummer to watch and see how that went down. So that to me is a big concern. I think if they really make it deep in the tournament, they make it to the Elite Eight, and Lord help us, the Final Four. I don't think it'll be more so on what they did, but more so on how the tournament kind of broke down around them.
The troll master in me definitely wants to say that MSU will not be making the tournament. I feel like the way how the season's been going, you know, they've been hot, they've been cold at stretches throughout the season. I feel like they really have to win two out of their three next games. I really don't want to be doubting Izzo, but I mean, I don't think that they could be able to beat Purdue. But I mean, Tom Izzo is that guy, and it just seems poetic that everyone is just down on him right now after that game against Ohio State. And then they just somehow pull a game out of their ass and win at Mackey, even though they've won like 3 of the past 10 matchups against Purdue. So Purdue's had their number for the past couple years or so. But I mean, they really do. They just have to win the next couple days. They have to win the next couple games just to even make the tournament. They probably, if they win those next two, probably got to win one game in the Big Ten tournament and then take it from there. But I mean, I really don't see them advancing more than just one game in the tournament if they do make it that far.
You know what? I agree with you, but it absolutely would not surprise me if 1 month from now on March 29th, if we're talking about Michigan State still playing basketball, they're still going. It still wouldn't surprise me that much if they were making a run all the way to the Final Four, either because, yeah, they got a good break or they're in the chaos region and they get through, or because A.J. Hogard, just like he did in last year's tournament, all of a sudden decides he's a good basketball player again, and all of a sudden one of the bigs turns it on too, whether Cohen Carr comes out or something. And they have a three-headed monster, of course, around Tyson Walker, who's the feature. But let's talk about the Big Ten in general, because if it's not Michigan State, who is the best team in the Big Ten in relation to actually winning a national title? Because Purdue's the best team in the Big Ten, but they're not going to win the national title. I will refuse to say they're going to win the national title until they actually do it, because they're built the exact same way they were last year. I don't see major changes. They're still trying to run through Zach Edey, and eventually a team is going to hit more threes than they do twos, and they're going to get knocked out of the tournament. I'm not going to predict them losing to a 16 seed. I don't think Fairleigh Dickinson's happening again, but I could see them losing in the Sweet 16, losing in the Elite Eight, not quite making it as far as Matt Painter's goals are, and as every Purdue fan's goals should be. Every Purdue fan should have huge expectations for Purdue. So maybe you guys think it's Purdue. Who's the team in the Big Ten that you're like, hey, maybe this team could actually do something, whether it's win the national title, make a Final Four, or just heavily overachieve in general?
Man, I mean, it's so hard to look without without the bracket out at this point in time. But, you know, if Illinois gets a favorable bracket, I could see Illinois make it to the Elite Eight and possibly compete and push to the Final Four. At this point in time, I mean, as you mentioned with Purdue, I mean, that's their biggest threat, is going up against a three. I mean, their last three tournaments, they lost against smaller schools, getting knocked out by North Texas in the first round, and then St. Peter's in the Sweet 16 when you thought, all right, this is the team for Purdue, and then you run into St. Peter's, right? And it's just so unfortunate. And then obviously the loss to Fairleigh Dickinson. I think that's a response that Purdue just doesn't have when you go up against smaller teams that are going to play you outside. They're not going to play you inside. There's no reason for them to play you inside. And so, no, I'm right there with you, Brad. I can't put a single penny on Purdue to really do anything. But, I mean, the Big Ten just – I don't know, man. Big Ten just doesn't feel like the Big Ten anymore at this point in time. Like, this year just – has been so tough to watch. And so, I mean, I guess not putting anything on Purdue. I mean, I guess I'll go to the next team down and take Illinois. And, you know, as Juwan Howard said, you're welcome. And, you know, with Illinois' top player, I guess that was a Juwan Howard groom, which is absolute bullshit. But, I think that, you know, like I said, we'll see how the bracket turns out. But if I were to put any money on any Big Ten team to not win a championship, but we'll say Final Four, I'm putting it on Illinois.
Yeah, Terrence Shannon's really good. That's a good pick.
So if we were putting money on this, I would definitely put money on no Big Ten team in general, even making it that far. Because, I mean, like you said, Purdue has a history of choking in March. I don't know if you guys have seen the video that circulates Twitter of someone took a picture of all the banners that they hang up in Purdue. and it's like absolutely nothing. They've been the team of the Big Ten for the past 3-4 years, and then they haven't been able to produce in March at all. It's like you said, St. Peter's, North Texas, and Fairleigh Dickinson last year. So I really just can't put any faith in them. And then, I mean, Illinois, you know, they've been better in the past 3-4 years ever since Brad Underwood took over, but they still haven't been able to produce in March. Heck, the last time they were the number one seed, they lost to Loyola Chicago. And you guys were trolling me saying that there was no way in hell Illinois was going to lose to Loyola Chicago. And then I fucking called it, and you guys didn't even give me my flowers or anything. So I really can't put any faith in any other Big Ten team. I guess I'm just going to say Nebraska just because of Tominaga, just being the Asian Steph Curry. I mean, I don't even know if Nebraska's even on the bubble or even in the tournament field, but, I mean, he can get going and everything. But jokes aside, if I have to put a team from the Big Ten to make it, the furthest, I would have to say Illinois, all trolling aside and everything, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, Coleman Hawkins has been pretty good for the past couple games, even though he's kind of a troll in himself. But, you know, Terrence Shannon has been taking it to another level this year. So I guess I'd have to say Illinois, but I wouldn't put any money on this in general for any other Big Ten team to even make it far in the tournament.
If I'm looking at teams that could be interesting in the Big Ten tournament, at least, Ohio State's on, I mean, a big-time bubble, and I don't think that, making the NCAA tournament is going to be even difficult for them, but they have the best shooter in the Big Ten, in Jamison Battle. They have a top 10 scorer in the Big Ten in Bruce Thornton. Ohio State can put the ball in the bucket enough to win some games, but it's really not going to be enough. It's Northwestern for me. Boo Booey can take over games. And if Boo Booey gets going, he's the number 4 scorer in the Big Ten. If he can find his shot, then I think that Northwestern has a real chance of beating some teams and having that energy like they had the last time they were in the NCAA tournament when they got absolutely screwed out of beating Gonzaga in the NCAA tournament after they somehow got lucky. And I forget who they played in the first round. And for some reason in a tie game, someone fouled them intentionally. And then in the next game, they got screwed out of beating Gonzaga. It was a strange time for Northwestern. But this is a team under Chris Collins that every now and then is going to sneak up and beat somebody, and I think that they're right there. But I'm with you, Mitch, and Andy, I think you think the same way, that really none of the Big Ten teams are a huge threat. But the last time that there was a major team that just seemed like they kept on losing too early, it was probably Villanova, and then Villanova ended up figuring it out. We'll see if Purdue can eventually become that team or if they're just going to be Gonzaga, who's always up at the top but just hasn't been able to actually win the big one.
I mean, Ohio State has, I mean, they've been looking great. I mean, ever since they let go of Chris Holtmann.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been a revitalized team. I'm sorry?
I said take notes, Michigan.
Seriously, like for fuck's sake.
Because Ohio State's on a 3-game win streak.
Yeah.
After firing Holtmann. And then I'm just looking at the leaderboard. And Michigan's fucking 8-20, clinched a share of last place in the Big Ten. So, sorry to interrupt, but
continue. No, I'm fucking right there with you. I don't know. I don't know what the. I mean, this will be an interesting off season for Michigan. But I mean, I don't know. It's been a team I haven't wanted to talk about for the last 2 months. But no, Brad, you're right. Ohio State's been on its hair, and I mean, I think they. You know, they have an opportunity to make a splash. They'll have to do some damage in the Big Ten tournament. And that'll be, man, as much as we have not been high on the Big Ten, I still think that, you know, that Big Ten tournament's going to be one of the more entertaining tournaments to watch because there's going to be so much on the line for so many teams. And that's what makes this time of year so, so great. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe they got that,
you know, revitalized fashion going on with them. And, you know, obviously with that win over Michigan State, we'll give them a little bit of a boost. And don't really have too many considerable games in their remaining three. And so at this point, it's just, you know, what draw do they get in the Big Ten tournament and see what damage they can make. But
yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, it could be a fun finish for Ohio State. And it'll be weird to kind of be intrigued by watching an Ohio State team play. But with Michigan so far out of it at this point, it's just, you know, I'm rooting for Michigan State. I've never been a Michigan State hater, even as a Michigan fan, so I'm hoping they do well. And then I just want Big Ten teams to do well as it is. So now let's go. We've gone from Michigan now to the Big Ten. Let's back out even farther, and let's take a look at the entire country. And if you guys had to pick someone right now of who you think, or maybe two teams, whoever it is, who you think are national championship favorites, who do you guys have?
Oh, man. You know, for a while I was riding UConn. I didn't want to be the typical fan, but like the moment I started watching UConn was the moment UConn lost. So I was like, all right, I'll pick another team. We'll see how that goes. Give me the Marquette Golden Eagles. There's one guy that stood out to me for Marquette, and not for his scoring, but Kolek. Was that Bingo Bango? Tyler Kolek.
Yeah.
Their senior guard, leading the nation in assists, over 7.5 assists per game. He's one of those guys where he's not going to, you know, he's not going to destroy you in the paint. But I mean, getting 15 points per game and leading the country in assists, that's a guy that you want on your team. And what will be interesting to see when he comes back, their last game against, I think it was Providence, I want to say it was. He ended up leaving the game with an oblique injury. So it'll be, time will tell when he comes back. But the one big thing for Marquette, I was looking at their games in February, and out of their 7 games in February, they're all victories by an average of an average of 23 points per game. They were dismantling them. And I think one of those games was against Butler on the road. So, I mean, Butler, not really the Butler of old, but, you know, for their small little stretch that they had, but, you know, that was their one single-digit victory that Marquette had. Every other game was double digits, and like I said, coming out to 23 points a game. The one thing that will be interesting, though, is March. March is going to be really, really important for Marquette. Holy cow. Because we were talking before the pod started this Saturday. Got a lot of big games on Saturday. Marquette on the road at number 12 Creighton. And then the middle of the week, they have a rematch. They are hosting UConn. That's going to be absolutely huge to see how those two games turn out. If you get one or two out of those games, I think for Marquette, you're going to be happy, and then take care of business on the road at Xavier to finish out that last Sunday. Or that one's actually on Saturday. So for me, yeah, Marquette, I think, you know, Kolek's going to be a huge, huge impact on this team. Like I said, somebody who, you know, I mean, if you get anybody who's going to average over 7 assists a game, that's going to be pivotal, and we'll see what time he gets back.
You do realize who Marquette's head coach is, correct?
Shaka.
Yeah, Shaka Smart. Notorious March Madness choker, Shaka Smart. You're having faith in Marquette to finally get that done with that guy as the head coach?
I'll roll the dice, man.
You'll roll the dice. I mean, hey,
who can you depend on though right now
that,
in March? Who can you depend on right now in March?
Honestly, yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking too.
Houston?
I mean, Houston's been good in the Big 12, but again, I mean, I don't even know anymore. College basketball is just a huge random guess game for me right now, because I just don't know if they're a good team that I feel confident in, you know, winning the national championship. I mean, and I'm just thinking, every time this year comes around, I have like a notification on my phone for teams to fade in March. And one of them is, I mean, I'm definitely not picking Virginia, but I'm just going to use Virginia as an example. Ever since they lost to UMBC, I just can't, I'm always so enamored by Virginia and everything. And then March Madness comes around, and that defense does, you know, translate to March Madness, but their offense just never shows up because, you know, they have such a lot of early exits going in. So, I mean, just looking at all the other teams, like, you know, we mentioned Purdue. Purdue's a March Madness choker. I feel like 90% of anyone that makes the tournament could be labeled as a March Madness choker. So, I mean, I was thinking about choosing UConn again as, you know, a repeat. But then I go back to, I remember seeing a tweet a couple years ago that no defending national champion has made it past the Sweet 16. Last year it happened again because Kansas lost to Arkansas. That little tidbit helped me out in my bracket there last year. But I mean, I think Arizona really has a good shot. And then I go back to thinking about Arizona's previous matchups in March. Last year they lost to Princeton. And heck, I remember when we were in college, I picked them to win it all. And then they lost to Buffalo like during the first day of the tournament. And that just completely nuked my interest in Madness that year. But I mean, Arizona has a lot of good wins. Caleb Love has been pretty good for them. So, and I know the Pac-12, it has been a shit conference this year, but I mean, they've had a good non-conference. They haven't lost a bunch of games by a lot of points. So I guess I would have to go with Arizona, but my confidence in that pick right now is at an all-time low because I really just have no idea at this point.
I'm with you on not really having an idea who to pick, and I think that all of us are going to bring up UConn and not pick UConn because UConn, I think, when clicking, is the best team in basketball. UConn, most consistently, is the best team. They're the team who I, if this wasn't a content-based thing, I probably would just pick them and say, you know, hey, they're kind of the best team. And Hurley is one of the best coaches, if not the best coach, in college basketball. But I'm going to be different, and I'm going to go to the SEC, and I'm going to say Tennessee. I think Tennessee's got a really, really good shot of going far. And I know you're going to go back to the coaches. Mitch, I see you shaking your head. You're going to go back to coaching.
March Madness choker, Tennessee doesn't count. They're not going to go far.
But they have the best scorer in the SEC in Dalton Knecht, over 20 points a game. They have the best assist guy in the SEC in Zakai Ziegler. They have one of the best field goal percentage guys in IDU. I mean, they have a really, really good team. They just dropped 90 points on Bruce Pearl's Auburn team. This is a team that can absolutely run with anybody in the country. I like Tennessee a lot. I know that they're chokers or whatever you want, Mitch. But, I mean, if you go back the last 10, 15 years, there's a few schools that aren't chokers. And they're UConn, Kentucky, Villanova, all the ones that we already know. Duke, they're the ones we already know. But now we've got this new era of college basketball. Some of these teams are going to have to sneak in. And for me, it's Tennessee. When you have Zakai Ziegler who running the point and then Dalton Knecht putting the ball in the bucket. And also, just I want to hear as many times as possible announcers say Knecht connects. And that's going to make for a fun March. So I think we've hit it all then. We've gone MSU. We've gone Big Ten. We all picked a favorite. And purposely avoided UConn, it sounds like. So when UConn wins the title, we can all look back at this and going, we all knew it was UConn, but we just didn't want to bring it up. So find Taking On Sports on social media. You can find us both on Twitter and on Facebook. Follow us on Spotify and share our stuff around because if you like us, your friends and family, they will too. Andy and Mitch, thank you very much. I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.